them.
One thing we did not catch sight of, at least on camera, while we were down at the SEC meetings with Michael Bratton, there were multiple reports from law enforcement authorities that he was at the SEC spring meeting. So let me double check now with Michael. Michael, good afternoon. It looks like you're back in studio today, but were you or were you not on the beach over the last couple of days?
Yeah, that's all I hear, Paul, about the SEC spring meetings is everyone's so close to the ocean and the beach, but they never quite get to spend any time there. I spent almost all my time on the beach and on the ocean and very little time in the actual hotel. So I was down there, and thankfully I did not get kicked out or escorted out by security, which I thought was bound to happen pretty much the entire time I was there.
Yeah, I saw you out of the corner of my eye. Now, again, my vision isn't great. And I saw a guy in like Gulf Coast security uniform. You know, it looked like he just got out, just dropped by after doing his shift at the local mall. And the next thing I noticed, you were no longer around.
Oh yeah, no, they asked me to leave very politely. They asked me several times, but by about the fifth or sixth time, I finally wised up and got out of there because I didn't want to be the first man, at least to my knowledge, arrested during the spring meetings.
Well, now that we know and have confirmed you were there, what was your takeaway from the last three or four days?
Yeah, it was hyped up to be a Super Bowl of organized meetings, right? But in my opinion, it was largely a dud. It was a lot like Congress, where you hear a lot, but I didn't notice a lot of action. And quite honestly, Paul, the biggest revelation I got at the spring meetings was how easily Paul Feinbaum downs a bourbon these days. So I'm a little concerned that you're trending in a dangerous direction.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of friends who claimed that I was drinking all night one night, and I no confirmation. I'm issuing one of those no confirmation or denial responses. Michael, the big story among some of the media was, would the SEC go from 8 to 9 games? We didn't get that response. There's an explanation for it, but what are your thoughts on that issue that everybody had an opinion on?
Well, it's just so interesting to me, Paul. There's obviously so much with the college football playoff expansion, with the SEC schedule, with the portal. I mean, so many huge topics that, you know, we were hoping to get some resolution on any of these, but not even the mighty SEC, which has the best players, obviously the best fans, best coaches, best everything, best spring meetings, based on my colleagues down there in Destin, but can't get anything cross the goal line, which to me is kind of stunning. We're not even the SEC can get these things done single-handedly, and they need everybody else to go along with them. But it's hard for me to believe, Paul, that the SEC could stay at 8 conference games. I think they might as well. I realize they want to see a resolution on what the playoff looks like, but I think we're just wasting time. I think it's going to get to 9 eventually, and I think they might as well do it. And I think that will go a long way to kind of resolving the rest of this.
Michael Bratton with it. And Michael, I don't know why I never noticed this before, but I just noticed over your left shoulder, the audience is right. You have one of the best books I have ever read, right directly behind you, with a very attractive man on the cover. Has that always been there, or?
Yeah, my local library was throwing it out, so I said, no, I'll take it for a nickel. So, but no, truthfully, that's one of my favorite books. Paul Feinbaum, My Conference Could Beat Your Conference.
Yeah, it may be coming. There may be a sequel coming out on that pretty soon. Michael, here's what I want to do. I want to do this in two categories: coaches, ADs, and media. Maybe that's three categories. But I want you to give us your thoughts on who looked good and who didn't, who stood out and who stood still during the SEC spring meetings.
Well, I certainly think Lane Kiffin was a highlight, thanks to the interaction that the two of you had on this program. But I think that was a masterful job of Lane Kiffin, you know, a little misdirection, almost like a magician, Paul, because last I checked, Ole Miss played essentially 8 meaningful games last year, and they went 5-3. And he had eight players, which is an all-time record at Ole Miss, NFL draft picks, and 12 other players signed as undrafted free agents in the NFL. So he had 20 players, Paul, that are now on NFL rosters, and he went 5-3 in his eight meaningful football games. And he's sitting here saying, well, we need to go 16 playoffs so that I can get in. I mean, it's just a wonderful misdirection, and no one's talking about what an awful job Whiffen did last fall. I think more people should be discussing that.
So you're saying it went viral, all the media websites, I mean, millions of views, but Lane Kiffin actually had the last laugh, because if he had not done the Lane Kiffin act, I may have asked him a legitimate question. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And another one we just played, leading up to this interview, Scott Strickland, I thought that was interesting when he said we don't need a playoff committee that he has actually served on before, because all of a sudden – I realize it, and I'm among it, Paul. I think Florida could be Billy Napier's best team. But last I checked, we ran off the previous two coaches because they couldn't win the SEC championship game. And Billy Napier, the closest he's ever going to get to that game, Paul, is if he buys a ticket and attends the thing down in Atlanta. But I do think Florida's roster is good enough to go 10-2 this year, but I think their coach is good enough to go 8-4.
Okay, I want to get to Kalen DeBoer. We didn't talk to him this week because we had talked to him 2 weeks earlier, and we tried to be discriminate on breaking that up, although we did talk to Kirby Smart two straight times. Alabama, I've heard rumors you're very high on them.
I am, Paul, and if Kalen DeBoer was kind enough to join my program, I'd give him more than 30 seconds to speak his mind. But I think this is the year that Alabama right now, this may be the only time in the last 15 years, Paul, that Alabama's flying under the radar. Everybody's talking Georgia, everybody's talking Texas, which they should, but Alabama's just as talented as those. They obviously got to figure out the quarterback, but I think if they can get more to what Kalen DeBoer is searching for, I think this is a huge year for Alabama. And how about this, Paul? Alabama's my pick to win the SEC. I'll just go ahead and spoil it. I think Kalen DeBoer gets it done this fall.
Michael Bratton, right here, right now, on the 29th day of May, picks Alabama to win the SEC. That is a hot take, as we say, at your old website. I want to get to my favorite part, because we talk to more media people than anyone could possibly want to ever talk to more media people. So I want you, and I realize you didn't watch every minute of the show, but you have a pretty good idea what happened here. So who stood out among the media visiting the Feinbaum show?
Oh, interesting question, Paul, because like you said, they kind of all blend together, and I didn't catch anything too noteworthy. Again, it was just, man, I do respect Ross Dellinger. I will say that. I don't want to throw him into the clown car, but I mean, it was just, this meetings is going to be fantastic. This coach wants that. This administrator wants that. And basically, I think anybody that called out Greg Sankey, I would certainly throw them into the clown car. So,
well, there was one who was trending in that direction yesterday, and we ran out of time. But and he also went after he challenged Greg Sankey. I'll be charitable. Monday afternoon, that was Brandon Marcello of CBS Sports.
Yeah, well, there's a reason, Paul, that. I don't follow that guy, but I did like Anwar Richardson over there. I think he does a heck of a job covering
who's apparent.
Yeah, he does a great job, and apparently we've just got to kiss up to Texas because they run this league now, apparently.
Yeah, that seemed to be it was understated, but when we had the athletic director of Georgia on, and he's always great, and then there was the athletic director of Texas CDC, Chris Del Conte, who blows into a room with great gusto, doesn't he?
He does, and I actually do like the fact, Paul, that he's out there supporting more home playoff games in the college football playoff if they do expand, which we all assume they're going to. I mean, it makes sense in a 12-team model to have more home playoff games. I don't understand why the likes of Georgia, who won the league, doesn't get a home game. That's nonsensical to me, so I'll give him credit for fighting. I think that's a – he's fighting for the fans, and he's fighting for these SEC programs because they earn those home field advantages that they should have gotten last year. That seems like they all went to the Big Ten last year.
I know I'm skipping over, but was it my hearing correct? You seemed to just kind of blow the whole media up, didn't you?
Well, not Mike Griffith. I like his suit. His suit was fantastic. He does a great. He was a highlight. He's always a highlight on this show. He's probably
I mean,
my second
Griff
favorite.
is the only person there. Am I wrong? He's the only guest we had that had a jacket and tie on.
Oh yeah, I don't even know if I own a jacket and tie, Paul. I rent mine out when I do it for SEC Media Days. So, yeah, he always looks like $1 million, and he's someone I look up to for sure.
Yeah, I don't believe. I mean, I don't even think as buttoned down as I have been in the past. I don't think I ever wore a tie to SEC spring meetings.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was wearing sandals and it was too hot for me, Paul. No wonder they wouldn't let me near your set.
Okay, well, I'm getting the signal from the sensor that he's been telling me to cut this interview for about 4 minutes. So I get to Greg Sankey last. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you heard the interview we had with Commissioner, but he started to take names last night, and he was calling out the other leagues, and I could have listened to that all night.
Yeah, and I want to commend Commissioner Sankey, Paul. I mean, apparently the Big Ten has a commissioner. I've never heard the man speak. I've heard Greg Sankey about 12 different sources, spots speak just this week. So he's taken all the blows. People have been crying for seemingly years for someone to step up, take leadership, take this sport in the right direction. And Commissioner Sankey is trying to do that. And everyone's trying to take him out from under the knees and call him this, that, and the other, which I credit him for standing up and doing what I think is right, not only for the SEC, but when they expanded this playoff, it was really good for the other conferences. You just don't hear much credit given to the commissioner for a lot of the good stuff he's doing.
No, John Talty pointed this out on Tuesday that he was in Los Angeles the other day for the Big Ten spring meetings. The commissioner never spoke to the media.
Yeah, that was when I learned that the Big Ten has spring meetings. I didn't realize that league had them, but apparently they do. And yeah, Petiti must be hiding here, Paul.
Right. Commissioner Phillips of the ACC did meet with the media daily when their meetings were, and I'm sure you watched that on the ACC network.
I currently don't have that channel, Paul.
Now they are telling me to wrap this up. Michael Bratton, just a special bonus interview post Miramar Beach. Many thanks, Michael. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls the rest of the way.